Chapter 15. An independent matter. At present, my reliance is on the Southeastern Railway Company, in whose express train here I sit, at 8 of the clock on a very hot morning, under the very hot roof of the terminus at London Bridge, in danger of being forced like a cucumber or a melon, or a pineapple. And talking of pineapples, I suppose there never were so many pineapples in a train as there appear to be in this train. Whew! The hot house air is faint with pineapples. Every French citizen or citizeness is carrying pineapples home. The compact little enchantress in the corner of my carriage, French actress, to whom I yielded up my heart under the auspices of that brave child, Michel, apostrophe at the St. James Theatre the night before last, has a pineapple in her lap. Compact enchantress's friend, confident, mother, mystery, heaven knows what, has two pineapples in her lap, and a bundle of them under the seat. Tobacco smoky Frenchman in Algerian wrapper, with peaked hood behind, who might be Abdelkader dyed rifle green, and who seems to be dressed entirely in dirt and braid, carries pineapples in a covered basket. Tall, grave, melancholy Frenchman, with black Van Dyck beard, and hair close cropped, with expansive chest to waistcoat, and compressive waist to coat. Saturnine as to his pantaloons, calm as to his feminine boots, precious as to his jewelry, smooth and white as to his linen. Dark-eyed, high-foreheaded, hawk-nosed got up, one thinks, like Lucifer or Mephistopheles, or Zamiel, transformed into a highly genteel Parisian as the green end of a pineapple sticking out of his neat valise. Whew! If I were to be kept here long, under this forcing frame, I wonder what would become of me, whether I should be forced into a giant, or should sprout, or blow into some other phenomenon. Compact enchantress is not ruffled by the heat, she is always composed, always compact. Oh, look at her little ribbons, frills, and edges, at her shawl, at her gloves, at her hair, at her bracelets, at her bonnet, at everything about her. How is it accomplished? What does she do to be so neat? How is it that every trifle she wears belongs to her, and cannot choose, but be a part of her? And even Mystery, look at her. A model. Mystery is not young, not pretty, though still of an average candlelight passability. But she does such miracles in her own behalf, that, one of these days, when she dies, they'll be amazed to find an old woman in her bed, distantly like her. She was an actress once, I shouldn't wonder, and had a mystery attendant on herself. Perhaps, compact enchantress will live to be a mystery, and to wait with a shawl at the side scenes, and to sit opposite to mademoiselle in railway carriages, and smile and talk subserviently, as mystery does now. That's hard to believe. Two Englishmen, and now our carriage is full. First Englishman, in the moneyed interest flushed, highly respectable stock exchange, perhaps city, certainly. Faculties of second Englishman entirely absorbed in hurry. Plunges into the carriage, blind. Calls out of window concerning his luggage, deaf. Suffocates himself under pillows of great coats, for no reason, and in a demented manner. Will receive no assurance from any porter whatsoever. Is stout and hot, and wipes his head, and makes himself hotter by breathing so hard. Is totally incredulous respecting assurance of collected guard, that there's no hurry. Apostrophe no hurry. And a flight to Paris in 11 hours. It is all one to me in this drowsy corner, hurry or no hurry. Until Don Diego shall send home my wings, my flight is with the Southeastern Company. I can fly with the Southeastern, more lazily, at all events, than in the upper air. I have but to sit here thinking as idly as I please, and be whisked away. I am not accountable to anybody for the idleness of my thoughts in such an idle summer flight. My flight is provided for by the Southeastern, and is no business of mine. The bell. With all my heart. It does not require me to do so much as even to flap my wings. Something snorts for me, something shrieks for me, something proclaims to everything else, that it had better keep out of my way, and away I go. Ah! The fresh air is pleasant after the forcing frame, though it does blow over these interminable streets, and scatter the smoke of this vast wilderness of chimneys. Here we are, no, I mean there we were, for it has started far into the rear in Bermondsey where the tanners live. Flash! The distant shipping in the Thames is gone. Were. The little streets of new brick and red tile, with here and there a flagstaff growing like a tall weed out of the scarlet beans, and, everywhere, plenty of open sower and ditch for the promotion of the public health, have been fired off in a volley. Whiz! Dust heaps, market gardens, and waste grounds. Rattle! New Cross Station. Shock! There we were at Croydon. Brrrr! The tunnel. I wonder why it is that, when I shut my eyes in a tunnel I begin to feel as if I were going at an express pace the other way. I am clearly going back to London now. Compact Enchantress must have forgotten something, and reversed the engine. No. After long darkness, pale fitful streaks of light appear. I am still flying on for Folkestone. The streaks grow stronger, become continuous, become the ghost of day, become the living day, became I mean the tunnel is miles and miles away, and here I fly through sunlight, all among the harvest and the Kentish hops. There is a dreamy pleasure in this flying. I wonder where it was, and when it was, that we exploded, blew into space somehow, a parliamentary train, with a crowd of heads and faces looking at us out of cages, and some hats waving. Moneyed interest says it was at Reigate Station. Expounds to mystery how Reigate Station is so many miles from London, which mystery again develops to compact Enchantress. There might be neither a Reigate nor a London for me, as I fly away among the Kentish hops and harvest. What do I care? Bang! We have let another station off, and fly away regardless. Everything is flying. The hop gardens turn gracefully towards me, presenting regular avenues of hops in rapid flight, then whirl away. So do the pools and rushes, haystacks, sheep, clover in full bloom delicious to the sight and smell, corn sheaves, cherry orchards, apple orchards, reapers, gleaners, hedges, gates, fields that taper off into little angular corners, cottages, gardens, now and then a church. Bang, bang! A double-barreled station. Now a wood, now a bridge, now a landscape, now a cutting, now a bang, a single-barreled station. There was a cricket match somewhere with two white tents, and then four flying cows, then turnips. Now the wires of the electric telegraph are all alive, and spin, and blur their edges, and go up and down, and make the intervals between each other most irregular, contracting and expanding in the strangest manner. Now we slacken, with a screwing, and a grinding, and a smell of water thrown on ashes, now we stop. Demented traveler, who has been for 2 or 3 minutes watchful, clutches his greatcoats, plunges at the door, rattles it, cries aye. Apostrophe apostrophe eager to embark on board of impossible packets, far inland. Collected guard appears. Are you for Tunbridge, sir? Apostrophe Tunbridge? No. Paris. Apostrophe plenty of time, sir. No hurry. 5 minutes here, sir, for refreshment. Apostrophe I am so blessed, anticipating Zamiel, by half a second, as to procure a glass of water for compact Enchantress. Who would suppose we had been flying at such a rate, and shall take wing again directly? Refreshment room full, platform full. Porter with watering pot deliberately cooling a hot wheel, another porter with equal deliberation helping the rest of the wheels bountifully to ice cream. Moneyed interest and I re-entering the carriage first, and being there alone, he intimates to me that the French are no go as a nation. I ask why? He says, that reign of terror of theirs was quite enough. I ventured to inquire whether he remembers anything that preceded said reign of terror? He says not particularly. Because, apostrophe I remark, the harvest that is reaped, has sometimes been sown. Apostrophe moneyed interest repeats, as quite enough for him, that the French are revolutionary, and always at it. Apostrophe, bell. Compact Enchantress, helped in by Zamiel, whom the stars confound. Comma gives us her charming little side box look, and smites me to the core. Mystery eating sponge cake. Pineapple atmosphere faintly tinged with suspicions of sherry. Demented traveler flits past the carriage, looking for it. Is blind with agitation, and can't see it. Seems singled out by destiny, to be the only unhappy creature in the flight, who has any cause to hurry himself. Is nearly left behind. Is seized by collected guard after the train is in motion, and bundled in. Still, has lingering suspicions, that there must be a boat in the neighborhood, and will look wildly out of window for it. Flight resumed. Corn sheaves, hop gardens, reapers, gleaners, apple orchards, cherry orchards, station single and double barreled, Ashford. Compact enchantress, constantly talking to mystery, in an exquisite manner, gives a little scream, a sound that seems to come from high up in her precious little head, from behind her bright little eyebrows. Great heaven, my pineapple, my angel, it is lost. Apostrophe mystery is desolated. A search made. It is not lost. Zamiel finds it. I curse him, flying, in the Persian manner. May his face be turned upside down, and jackasses sit upon his uncle's grave. Now fresher air, now glimpses of an enclosed downland with flapping crows flying over it whom we soon outfly, now the sea, now Folkestone at 10:15. Tickets ready, gentlemen. Apostrophe demented dashes at the door. For Paris, sir? No hurry. Apostrophe, not the least. We are dropped slowly down to the port, and sidle to and fro the whole train, before the insensible Royal George Hotel, for some 10 minutes. The Royal George takes no more heed of us than its namesake underwater at Spithead, or under earth at Windsor, does. The Royal George's dog lies winking and blinking at us, without taking the trouble to sit up. And the Royal George's wedding party at the open window, who seem, I must say, rather tired of bliss, don't bestow a solitary glance upon us, flying thus to Paris in 11 hours. The first gentleman in Folkestone is evidently used up on this subject. Meanwhile, demented chafes, conceives that every man's hand is against him, and exerting itself to prevent his getting to Paris, refuses consolation. Rattles door. Sees smoke on the horizon, and knows it's the boat gone without him. Moneyed interest resentfully explains that he is going to Paris too. Demented signifies that if moneyed interest chooses to be left behind, he don't. Refreshments in the waiting room, ladies and gentlemen. No hurry, ladies and gentlemen, for Paris. No hurry whatever. Apostrophe, 20 minutes pause, by Folkestone clock, for looking at enchantress, while she eats a sandwich, and at mystery, while she eats of everything there that is eatable, from pork pie, sausage, jam, and gooseberries, to lumps of sugar. All this time, there is a very waterfall of luggage, with a spray of dust, tumbling slantwise from the pier into the steamboat. All this time, demented, who has no business with it, watches it with starting eyes, fiercely requiring to be shown his luggage. When it at last concludes the cataract, he rushes hotly to refreshes, shouted after, pursued, jostled, brought back, pitched into the departing steamer upside down, and caught by mariners disgracefully. A lovely harvest day, a cloudless sky, a tranquil sea. The piston rods of the engine so regularly coming up from below, to look, as well they may, at the bright weather, and so regularly almost knocking their iron heads against the crossbeam of the skylight, and never doing it. Another Parisian actress is on board, attended by another mystery. Compact enchantress greets her sister artist, oh, the compact one's pretty teeth. And mystery greets mystery. My mystery soon ceases to be conversational, is taken poorly, in a word, having lunched too miscellaneously, and goes below. The remaining mystery then smiles upon the sister artists, who, I am afraid, wouldn't greatly mind stabbing each other, and is upon the whole ravished. And now I find that all the French people on board begin to grow, and all the English people to shrink. The French are nearing home, and shaking off a disadvantage, whereas we are shaking it on. Zamiel is the same man, and Abdelkader is the same man, but each seems to come into possession of an indescribable confidence that departs from us from moneyed interest, for instance, and from me. Just what they gain, we lose. Certain British gents about the steersman, intellectually nurtured at home on parody of everything and truth of nothing, become subdued, and in a manner forlorn. And when the steersman tells them, not exultingly, how he has been upon this station now 8 years, and never see the old town of Bolam yet, apostrophe one of them, with an imbecile reliance on a reed, asks him what he considers to be the best hotel in Paris. Now, I tread upon French ground, and am greeted by the three charming words, liberty, equality, fraternity, painted up in letters a little too thin for their height, on the custom house wall also by the sight of large cocked hats, without which demonstrative headgear nothing of a public nature can be done upon this soil. All the rabid hotel population of Bowlin howl and shriek outside a distant barrier, frantic to get at us. Demented, by some unlucky means peculiar to himself, is delivered over to their fury, and is presently seen struggling in a whirlpool of touters is somehow understood to be going to Paris is, with infinite noise, rescued by two cocked hats, and brought into custom house bondage with the rest of us. Here, I resign the active duties of life to an eager being, of preternatural sharpness, with a shelving forehead and a shabby snuff-colored coat, who, from the wharf, brought me down with his eye before the boat came into port. He darts upon my luggage, on the floor where all the luggage is strewn like a wreck at the bottom of the great deep, gets it proclaimed and weighed as the property of Monsieur a traveler unknown. Apostrophe pay certain francs for it, to a certain functionary behind a pigeonhole, like a pay box at a theater. The arrangements in general are on a wholesale scale, half military and half theatrical, and I suppose I shall find it, when I come to Paris he says I shall. I know nothing about it, except that I pay him his small fee, and pocket the ticket he gives me, and sit upon a counter, involved in the general distraction. Railway station. Lunch or dinner, ladies and gentlemen. Plenty of time for Paris. Plenty of time. Apostrophe large hall, long counter, long strips of dining table, bottles of wine, plates of meat, roast chickens, little loaves of bread, basins of soup, little carafes of brandy, cakes, and fruit. Comfortably restored from these resources, I begin to fly again. I saw Zamiel before I took wing, presented to compact enchantress and sister artist, by an officer in uniform, with a waist like a wasp's, and pantaloons like two balloons. They all got into the next carriage together, accompanied by the two mysteries. They laughed. I am alone in the carriage, for I don't consider demented anybody, and alone in the world. Fields, windmills, low grounds, pollard trees, windmills, fields, fortifications, Abbeville, soldiering, and drumming. I wonder where England is, and when I was there last about 2 years ago, I should say. Flying in and out among these trenches and batteries, skimming the clattering drawbridges, looking down into the stagnant ditches, I become a prisoner of state, escaping. I am confined with a comrade in a fortress. Our room is in an upper story. We have tried to get up the chimney, but there's an iron grating across it, embedded in the masonry. After months of labor, we have worked the grating loose with the poker, and can lift it up. We have also made a hook, and twisted our rugs and blankets into ropes. Our plan is to go up the chimney, hook our ropes to the top, descend hand over hand upon the roof of the guardhouse far below, shake the hook loose, watch the opportunity of the sentinels pacing away, hook again, drop into the ditch, swim across it, creep into the shelter of the wood. The time has come, a wild and stormy night. We are up the chimney, we are on the guardhouse roof, we are swimming in the murky ditch, when lo! Quive law? Apostrophe a bugle, the alarm, a crash. What is it? Death? No, a means. More fortifications, more soldiering and drumming, more basins of soup, more little loaves of bread, more bottles of wine, more carafes of brandy, more time for refreshment. Everything good, and everything ready. Bright unsubstantial looking, scenic sort of station. People waiting. Houses, uniforms, beards, mustaches, some sabots, plenty of neat women, and a few old-visaged children. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.